Ago now, I interviewed the phenomenal author and healer Caroline Mace. You may recognize her name. She had a huge international success in the 70s with her book Anatomy of the Spirit, and still is one of the most popular guests on Oprah. And if you ever want to understand more about energy and purpose and soul contracts, please look her up. It was such a privilege to interview her. And I learned so much, especially when she shared with me this simple, powerful idea, which was most of our suffering comes from the attachment to our fantasies. Let me say that again. Most of our suffering comes from our attachment to our fantasies. In other words, it is our attachment to how we think things should be that creates our biggest struggles. This is so true of motherhood, isn't it? We think it's going to be a certain way and it's not. We think we're going to fall pregnant a certain way and it doesn't happen. Our birth, our babies, our toddlers, returning to work, starting school with them, all of it, we have a picture in our mind of what it looks like. And when it doesn't turn out that way, we find it very hard. This topic is central to what I share with the beautiful guest I invited onto the podcast today. Naomi Wolfson is a mum of two who inspires and supports other women on their journey to and through motherhood. She created Embrace Fertility after her own struggles with infertility, IVF, and miscarriage, and started blogging and then sharing what she learnt with other mamas. Naomi is currently in one of my longer 4-month programs, and I really wanted to invite her onto the podcast today because I wanted us all to remember that the great expectations we hold of ourselves and this whole process often keeps us suffering. What if we could accept exactly what is happening? What if we could realize that we are not our thoughts? Those thoughts, those images and judgments in our mind are not who we really are. Naomi shares her powerful story in realizing this herself and walks us through what she has most learned about herself through matrescence and the journey to becoming a mama. Enjoy, beautiful mamas. I know you'll get so much out of this. Is the Happy Mama Movement, a weekly podcast dedicated to changing the conversation about what it means to be a mother and a woman in this day and age. I'm Amy Taylor Cabaz, author, mama, and former journalist. After spending 15 years chasing news and burning myself out trying to be Superwoman, I realized that I was chasing a dream that no longer served me. And since then, have dedicated myself to understanding the transition that we go through as women when our whole identity shifts with motherhood. Every week, I will bring you the very best insights and inspiration I can find to help us all change the way we feel about this time in our lives and create a movement that allows us to honor motherhood differently. Naomi, thank you so much for joining the Happy Mama Movement podcast. I'm so excited to speak to you.
Thank you for inviting me on.
So you are a mama that's a part of my longer program at the moment, and we've been on this journey together for a little while. And more I want to bring the stories of mamas and their personal experiences to this podcast. So I'm really excited to talk to you because I know you've got your own personal journey through matrescence, but you also speak to other mothers and women going through this. So you're the perfect balance for my beautiful mama audience. So let's start first with your beginnings of matrescence, your first experience of motherhood, and who you were and what you thought this was going to look like.
Okay. Well, it was very much, I knew right from when I was 17 that having a baby might be a problem for me. I was diagnosed with endometriosis. And, you know, hearing that as a teenager, it's like, oh, by the way, this might be a struggle for you, you might need to do IVF. That was sort of laid out in my teens. So when I finally got married and then in my 30s was like, right, now's the time to start a family, to have a baby. And part of me was kind of nervous and part of me was like, no, it's going to be fine, you know. First month, of course I'll get pregnant. And then when it just didn't happen, it was just, that was kind of the start of it. It's that like, oh, hang on. Sort of everything else in my life had been, you know, I've been told, oh, if you work hard and, you know, set your intention, set your goal, you'll get what you want. You just have to go and claim it, go and get it. And then having a baby wasn't like that. And that was the first thing that was like really threw me. It was like, oh, hang on, this doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. And it really, really shook me. You kind of just assume, well, you know, I want to have a baby now, so I'm going to have a baby now. So it took in the end 4 years to conceive Jasper. And it was about 2 years in, we started fertility treatment. And I was so anxious and so depressed and just really, really struggling. And my doctor suggested antidepressants. He was like, oh, you know, struggling with antidepressants. I was like, I don't need antidepressants. I had the awareness. I was like, it's my thinking and my desire to be a mother that is, and the fact that that isn't happening, that is what's causing the anxiety. And luckily, my fertility clinic had like a mindfulness department. They were like, oh, you need to go and see Clara, and booked me in, and I did one-to-one mindfulness class with her for 8 weeks. And that was just the start of it, that I'd never been told that our thinking isn't us before. I'd heard about it a little bit, but I'd never really sort of understood what that meant. And then really sitting with it for 8 weeks, like, you are not your thinking. Your thoughts are what's causing this anxiety. You can separate yourself from that. It was the start of my blog. I started blogging about my journey and Grace Fertility. And sort of went on from there. And then I followed all through my going through IVF twice, having miscarriage, and then finally conceiving Jasper naturally a few months later. And I just blogged and I ended up retraining as a therapist because I was like, this is what I should be doing. I just need to know more about this. I just need to learn.
And so when you say it was the first time you realized I am not my thoughts, I know over the years when I've brought this up in all of my programs and spoken to mamas about this, it's often the first time that has come into their mind as well. And they really struggle with it. What do you mean I'm not my thoughts? If I'm not my thoughts, what am I? Can you talk to me about how you first understood it? I know you're deep into the understanding of it now, but let's go back to basics. What do you mean by I am not my thoughts?
It was that, I suppose with mindfulness, what I was learning was that you can sit and like watch your thoughts. And I think the most sort of powerful analogy for me is when we were working through and doing this like one-on-one with the coach, and he's like, I just sit and watch, wait for a thought to come up. Like, you know a thought is going to come. So you sit and wait until a thought arrived. So it was like I was waiting for a thought rather than me being the thought and having, like, creating the thought. It was like the thought was coming from somewhere that wasn't me physically thinking it. So for me, that was that. Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't need to believe the thoughts. That was what we were working on. She was like, you don't need to believe the thoughts that are telling you, you know, you might never be a mum, this might never happen to you. She's like, well, they're not facts, so you don't need to believe them. And that's what it's like, oh, they are just thoughts. They're just a string of words in a line. It's not a concrete fact. No one said, you know, 100% this isn't going to happen for you. It's like, oh, they're just words. And if you switch the order around, they're gobbledygook. They don't mean anything. So why allow them to mean anything? And it was literally just something like switched the light on. It was kind of like, oh, okay. And just that, you know, instant relief, which, you know, was fleeting. I had to keep looking for that relief and kind of, you know, meditating and practicing and looking at my thoughts, but it was still that relief that was like, oh, okay. And even if you just have it for, you know, a few seconds, it's still that kind of that lightness that you're like, oh, okay. I don't need to kind of be wrapped up in this anxiety that my thoughts are creating.
So how did mindfulness and that awareness that you are not your thoughts help you through that stage of trying to fall pregnant and then first pregnancy and then even the early first motherhood experience? How did that help you?
It was life-changing. It sort of, especially when you're sort of sleep deprived. And when I first had Jasper, and I can so see how easily people can sort of fall into, you know, the baby blues or postnatal depression, because when you're deprived of sleep, your thinking can be so dark and so negative just because you're exhausted. And for me, it was again going like, okay, I'm exhausted. These are just exhausted thoughts. These are just the thoughts of a woman who's not had much sleep, but I don't need to, yeah, tune into them and run with them. I can kind of step back and go, there's more to me than the thoughts, and kind of separating myself from them again. So it's definitely that while trying to conceive, if I hadn't found mindfulness, I think I would have, I don't know, had to go down the route of medication or something else, because I got to the point that I was struggling so much that I just couldn't cope at all. And then having mindfulness and having this sort of ability to really support myself rather than always looking outside of myself,
yes,
for people or things to help me, it was that suddenly going, okay. And it, you know, it got to the stage that I was probably, if I was having a really tough day, I would go, I just, you know, get up and love or something like that. I have to just go meditate for a bit. It was probably, you know, like someone would maybe say, like, oh, I just need to go and use my inhaler now. I kind of would say, oh, sorry, I just need to go and meditate. It was so entrenched in me. It's like, that's what I need to do right now. That is my coping. I need to take myself away and just have moments to just breathe and, yes, step back.
Oh, I love that. I love the inhaler, analogy. That is such a great way to talk about it, because it is actually the ability to take a big, deep breath. What a great analogy to use. And so you are a mama of two now. And so what has motherhood meant to you? How have you changed? I mean, what a journey it was to even get here the first time. And so who are you now and how has it changed you?
Oh, well, I think it's so interesting. I had a realization about half an hour ago, actually. I was sat thinking about our chat and thinking about, like, well, what are we going to be talking about, and, you know, what's going to come up. And I was going back through some of my blogs and Embrace Fertility. And there was one I wrote last May that's just entitled Give Less Fucks, but with no stars, give less beep. And are we allowed to swear on Happy Mama Podcast?
Yeah. We'll do a little warning at the beginning, but no, go for it.
There's blue language. Sorry. I'd had this realization last May that I was back into this loop that I'd been enduring while I was trying to conceive, of getting really anxious, feeling really lost, sort of flailing around trying to work out what to do, finding meditation almost, well, just finding impossible, trying to do it, but just being so anxious that just sitting still was impossible for me. And then kind of go on this journey of self-discovery and getting back into meditation and tapping and like doing a course. This is why I started following Happy Mama. I was looking for inspiration. I was looking for a way to kind of connect back in. So I, you know, went through the whole infertility journey. I was like, oh, great, you know, got my kids now. I have this dream life that I wanted. But the anxiety came back. And I was feeling really disconnected from myself. I didn't know who I was anymore. I was like, you know, I was writing all the way through trying to conceive and being pregnant. And actually, up until having Jasper, I was writing a lot. And then I basically had sort of 6 months off after having him. And at that point, I suddenly was like, I have to be writing again. And I'd done the same after having Evie. Almost a year with her of just being fully immersed in like a mum of two and having two under two as well, and both being tiny. And just suddenly realizing that I was so disconnected from myself. And I was like, okay, need to tune back in with myself. And that's sort of where I am again now, which is why I chose to do the Divine Love program, that I was like, I need more connection. I need more time for myself. And time connecting with other women who are going through this and really understand that we need to be, you know, meditating, whatever it is that hooks you in and makes you feel good.
Yes. And that's right. For some of us, it is that meditation, but for others, it's painting, it's sewing, it's running, it's walking. It doesn't matter, but there has to be something. I like how you call it a hook into connecting with yourself. And I mean, I do honestly think that meditation is for everybody and it is a hook for us all. But sometimes the first hook is something else, and that's totally okay. But we have to have that space. And as you said, sometimes it's even writing. It has been for me many, many times over the years where writing was the hook back into myself again. And then when that started, other things opened up. And that's what happens.
Yeah, it definitely feels that. I think it's that creating something, isn't it, for the sake of purely creating it rather than, you know, like, I don't know, yeah, creating something for the goal of, oh, I need to produce something. This is, yeah, creating purely because in that moment you're loving it and feeling like yourself. I think that's like, I've just started writing again now. It's been a big thing to come from doing your program, is that I can write again. I had such writer's block. I was really struggling with how to express myself again. And that's come back, and it literally feels like I can breathe again. It feels like this weight's been lifted from my shoulders, and I'm suddenly like, there's part of me is back. There's part of me that's been like hibernating while the kids have been tiny. And now suddenly I'm like, ooh, like I can feel it again. It's like part of me's been really numb and like sort of switched off. And now that's been like reignited, and I'm like, oh, right. And it just feels so good, just so good.
Because part of you has been hibernating. This is the thing, in those early survival months, we have to almost go into full mother mode. But then eventually, and actually earlier than often we think, we have to start bringing those other parts of ourselves back out again, don't we? And that's what we forget. We lose ourselves in those early months because we have to for survival, but then we forget to come back out of hibernation.
Yeah, I think that's what I think is so interesting on your blog and your podcast, because you've been talking a lot at the moment about this, is kind of that you have to do it when your kids are little. And I think that's what I'd like fully embraced it, like when they were both really tiny, and I was fully up for like, yes, let's just like dive into this. But it's like slowly over time, and for me it comes in like, it starts with like feeling sort of angry and sort of resentful and just not quite myself. And then kind of, if I ignore that, then it sort of comes more into like being probably angry. And that's sort of where I got back to a few weeks back, that I was just so angry. And I was like, what is going on? And I was like, yeah, it's because I'm just completely out of whack again. I'm out of balance. And things have shifted and I haven't. I think Yes. That's what it is. Like, my kids are bigger now. You know, Evie's a toddler. She's not a baby anymore. Like, just was at preschool. But sort of they shifted and sort of moved on a bit. But I hadn't. I was still in that space of, you know, yeah, sort of giving my all to them and not giving enough to myself.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And we talk about in the Redefine program and a lot of what I do, that it's often the creativity that is that first spark. Like for you, it's writing. For others, it's getting back to running or getting back to something that they push to the side because I don't have time for that anymore. And when they just start giving that a little bit of space again, it awakens a part of yourself that you just shut down because you thought you had to. And that creativity can be, as we said, writing, dancing, going to yoga, exercising, but it can also be how you dress, what you wear, connecting again with your partner, going out for a girls' night. It doesn't matter, but there has to be that sense of freedom a little bit again, doesn't there?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, isn't it? That you feel... If you start feeling resentful and feeling trapped by motherhood, because that's kind of how I felt. It's like, oh, there's so much I can't do at the moment because I need to be here for my kids. But it's working out what you can do and what makes you feel really free. And it can be something really, you know, it can be something really silly and fun that just makes you feel really light. That's really it. Like, oh, that's really, and not naughty is the word, isn't it? But that kind of, you know, to just allow yourself and go like, oh, this just feels, oh, it just feels so nice. Just like, oh, it's just for me and I'm allowed.
Exactly. I am allowed. Yes. I wanted to ask you, because you now talk to so many women who struggle with infertility, or it might take a while to fall pregnant. Over the years, I've spoken to so many mamas that have had the same experience, years and years of fertility treatment or miscarriages, and they really dedicate themselves to creating the family that they long for. And then when it starts, when the baby or babies are here, and they don't love every single second, there's a particular type of guilt or shame, because it's something... I fell pregnant very easily for all of mine. So it's not a personal experience. It's just something I've noticed in so many women I've coached over the years, that if it was a particularly hard road to motherhood and then they don't fully embrace every part of being a mum, there is a very big amount of guilt or judgment about that. Have you noticed that for yourself and also for the women you speak to?
Oh, definitely. We talk about this. A lot of the ladies who went through infertility with me, so we all, I started a support group through the Fertility Network, a UK charity, and it started off just as a little support group in London, and then it grew online, and then it, you know, became hundreds of women, and we were all in this group, and then as we got pregnant, and then had our babies, we've all stayed in touch and still this really strong community. And we talk about that a lot, that we're like, you know, if we had just got pregnant straight away, you would have a completely different relationship to motherhood, because then I think all of us definitely feel that, yeah, we're not loving it. And obviously it's parenthood, it's life, it's so all encompassing, it's not possible. You know, if someone says they do love every single moment, I'm like, wow. Like they are, I don't know. I haven't met anyone yet who's been able to say,
I don't think they're telling the truth.
I just don't think it would be physically, I don't know, you just wouldn't be human, would you? If you literally loved every single second of it, because you're obviously going to have off days and times, but yeah, there's definitely this thing of that whole extra level of mom guilt of like, this baby is so precious. And I think it comes in with toddlerhood as well. I think for a lot of us, you have your miracle baby, and the first 6 months, you're literally in this kind of the blur of motherhood, but also that like, you are literally like, wow, my baby is a miracle. And then obviously as they start getting bigger, and then they become a toddler. And no matter what anyone says, toddlers are really annoying. They just have the ability to just really wind you up, because that's part of being a toddler, isn't it?
Yes.
So then when you are just like, oh, they're annoying me so badly, and you're like, oh no, miracle child, you know, they might never have existed. You have that whole extra layer of just mum guilt on top. Yeah, we talk about that a lot. It's great.
Well, so because I that's what I see. That's what I see in so many mamas. It's this extra layer of I should love this, and this was a miracle, and all of that. So what do you tell yourself in those moments then? Or what do you talk to the other beautiful mamas in your group about that extra level of I should be loving this?
I think the main thing is kind of is talking to other women about it, is saying like to the group, it's like, you know, I'm finding this really hard, and everyone else going, yeah, me too, it's okay. Like, you have permission to just go, you have permission to not love it every second. It doesn't mean you don't love your kids. It doesn't mean you're not honoring everything you've been through, and it's just okay to go, you know, it's like you can never forget what you've been through, but you don't need to let that define you. You don't need to sort of hold yourself up on this pedestal of the mother you thought you were going to be. I suppose it's when you're trying to conceive, you make all these promises and you're like, you know, if I get pregnant, I will be like the best mother in the world. And you build yourself up and you make all these promises and you're like, oh, you know, just let me have a baby and I will do like so right by this child. And then when you're actually in it, you still want to hold up to that promise you kind of made yourself. But it's obviously kind of unrealistic to go, you know, you don't need to be this superwoman, supermom on a pedestal. You just need to be the mom you can be to your children.
Oh, so true. So true. We think we need to be this certain level of perfection to serve these children that we've been gifted and we've been given, and that's not what they need from us. But you've explained it so beautifully. Thank you. That's just such a powerful way to describe it.
Yeah, and I think it's that thing as well of just being really open with other mums. I think it's this, especially the whole like social media thing, and you see all these pictures of your friends and your family of these like, you know, perfect, you know, chocolate box moments. And so that's why I'm kind of talking about in the group and like sharing on my Instagram, is like, you know, yeah, here's the picture, but here's actually what was happening 2 seconds before that picture. So there's a great picture I put on my website, and it's, you know, it's me and the kids walking through the woods and we look lovely. And I was like, 2 minutes before this, Jasper had a massive, massive tantrum. 2 seconds afterwards, Evie had a tantrum and lay down in the mud. And just after that, I had a big tantrum and I was like, right, fine, we're going to the pub. I don't want to be in the woods anymore. And I was like, that photo looks so idyllic. And everyone's like, oh, your kids are so cute. And oh, look at your woods. And oh, don't you all look lovely. And I was like, yeah, but that was just that particular second in time, just before and just after. pretty ick, to be fair.
Yeah, that's it. And that's so important for us all to remember. I just love it. Thank you. And so when you now look at who you are after all of this, you know, right back from discovering that first 8-week mindfulness course to who you are now, what do you think this has taught you about yourself when you look at your experience of matrescence, the transformation to becoming who you are today? What do you think it's been about?
I think it's about acceptance. What keeps coming up for me is embrace. It's why I called the group Embrace Fertility, because so many things in the fertility, you're pushing it away. If you don't want it, you don't like it, so you fight it. Whereas actually, if you just embrace it and fully just allow it to be, you suddenly stop fighting. You stop fighting with yourself, stop struggling with yourself. And the same goes with motherhood. If I'm fighting the frustration I'm feeling, if I'm fighting the anxiety, if I'm fighting myself and trying to talk myself out of the negative thinking or whatever I'm going through, I'm just making it bigger and stronger, and it, you know, sort of adds weight to it. Whereas if I just sit back and go, okay, you know what, in this minute, just really annoyed and just whatever, just be with it rather than running from it, and instantly the situation changes, even if it's like the tiny fraction of a degree, but it shifts. And if you can feel that tiny shift, then you're away, because you're like, oh, hang on, I've created that tiny shift, therefore I've got the ability to create a bigger shift and a bigger change. And you feel empowered, and you feel like, oh, okay, I can do this. I can keep stepping forward.
Yeah, I agree. And what an amazing thing to take into the rest of your life. You now have the most beautiful skills and tools to be able to face whatever comes your way.
I just have to keep remembering though, Amy. That's the problem. I keep forgetting. Mm. I forget time and time again. I just have to pick myself up and go. Because, you know, sometimes it will take a couple of months or a couple of weeks or a couple of days. And what you want it to be is maybe a couple of hours or a couple of minutes would be really nice. But but even if it's like, you know, an hour later, you suddenly go, okay, there's another way. You know, that, I think the question for me that's really helping at the minute is, you know, what's this really about? Like, what's behind the frustration or the annoyance or whatever it is? And how can I look at this in another way? Because there's always a different way to look at things. Sometimes, you know, if you turn something upside down and look at it a different way, everything changes. But you need to have that thought that you can look at it differently in the first place.
That's right. And it goes back to what you said at the beginning, you are not those thoughts, that there is another group of thoughts you can choose instead. You have the power to choose again. I love it. Wow. Thank you. It's been really gorgeous to be on this path with you. And I know that you're helping so many women understand fertility and embracing it, but also then supporting them through that early stage of pregnancy and being okay, giving ourselves permission to feel all the feels, no matter what that is. So I so appreciate your time, beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I just love speaking to other mamas and hearing how they have found themselves through this process. This is what matrescence is all about. It is about discovering that you are not your thoughts, that the expectations you have of what this is going to look like is actually keeping you suffering. And there is a beautiful opportunity here for you to come out of the hibernation that early motherhood requires and start to honor yourself, the woman who is emerging. You can learn all about Naomi's work with infertility, IVF and miscarriage, and also the support for new mamas at embracefertility.co.uk. And also in her new podcast, More Mojo for Mums. Love that. All of the notes are in the show notes, of course. And if you know any mama, any woman who is struggling with the expectations of how she might fall pregnant, how her birth should have gone, or how motherhood should be going, please share this podcast with her. Much love and Sat Nam. Until next week.